Welcome to Inside Out, the Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues and discover their core truths so that we may understand them and hopefully add a little more fun to our lives.
Tonight's show is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I'm Errol Strider, and together we will explore these truths through humor, conscious conversation, we hope it'll be conscious, poetry, music, skits, and your comments.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% natural organic raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. Go Raw can be found in Whole Foods in the organic section of Costco, among other places. Or just go to the goraw.com to find a store near you and find out about more about the Go Raw products. And we're so grateful that they're our sponsor, and I feel like it's so in keeping that the Naked Truth is sponsored by Go Raw.
Yes, in case you missed that.
And we have call-in. Let's give you that number right away so that hopefully you'll be stimulated by our conversation or in some way you might want to share with us. And that call-in number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-888-627-6008. A very good year.
A very good year. And in keeping with the fact that the Olympics are happening right now, the Winter Olympics, we're going to do some fun things that might have implications about Olympics, different sports that may be featured in the coming Olympics, maybe.
And more importantly, it's a metaphor for the subject that we're going to deal with tonight.
Control. You know, some of us believe that if we're in control, we know that we exist. And if we're out of control, that is doubtful. I mean, we have to
Works
know.
Works for me.
We have to know we're here. So we have to control the future. Otherwise, our image of our tenure is shaky at best. In our mind, we create the past. So who but us will create the future? The now is merely a stepping stone, an informational reference to tomorrow, based, of course, on the past. If it sounds confusing, it is. When we swim with the current, one, we determine and not control the direction of the current. To swim against it is more difficult. We wear out quicker. There's more resistance. But where do we want to go? I'm firmly of the mind that if we really, really know where we want to go, what our purpose is, what we truly want, we do not have to control the means, but just be open to having the means show up. For instance, if I stand on a street corner, knowing I want to go to the park, a taxi, trolley, bus, car, train, or rickshaw might all be present, might present themselves. So what do I take? I figure it out, how long each conveyance might take, how convenient, how expensive, how difficult, easy, tiresome, thrilling. While I find myself thinking about all this, trying to control it, I bump into a friend who has a car, who wants to go to the park as well. So what do? I get into her car. I have a wonderful time. Was meeting her in my plans? What if I said, no, I'm waiting for a rickshaw. Only way I'll go. I would have missed out. And the bus that came by, filled with so many standing passengers, felt confining. But I went with her. Did I control that? I don't think so. Some listeners might believe that I created her, my ride. But is that the same as controlling her, making her come to my rescue? So I asked some questions. What can I control? Is there anything that I need to control? Starting with these two questions, we can start a great conscious conversation.
I love that. You know, the issue of control for me, of course, is for self-protection and to make sure that I'm not overwhelmed by forces that are hostile or antagonistic toward me.
Well, yeah, like you know, natural phenomenon, you know, we can't control it, you know. We saw that movie recently about that tsunami, you know, that family who was at this luxurious hotel, you know, and the wife didn't want to be there because she wanted to be working on something else, and so, but she came along, and the next thing they know, they're struggling to save their lives because this water engulfed them all. They were in hospitals, running around looking for each other. And all those control things they had prior to getting there vanished. And all they were doing was trying to survive.
So. Yeah, well, it's a good impulse at a certain level of our life experience. But then there comes a point in which we might consider making a shift and moving into the area of trust. But before we get there, I'd like to play this sketch that we did, which we mentioned, called The Thrill of Control. This is actually the video, and of course you won't be able to see it very well, but maybe you'll be inspired to go look at the video on our website, which is thelaughingheart.org. So this is, as I said, a video from our show Family Baggage, and the piece is entitled Thrill of Control, and we take you to, and the whole Family Baggage piece is a metaphor for looking at control and all about it. But this, I think, will speak for itself. Here you have it, The Thrill of Control.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to one of the great sporting events of America, The Thrill of Control. Hi, folks, I'm Mel Winston, and as you know, I'll be calling the play-by-plays, and my partner here is Hal Gimwat, who'll be doing the color commentaries. Welcome, Hal.
Well, hi, Mel. It's good to be here. You know, we've got a terrific competitor here in Little Miss. She's in wonderful shape. She's been training for years.
Well, as a matter of fact, Hal, she's been training a lifetime for this event. Folks, you're going to see control maneuvers here today that you rarely see in this sport.
Well, you know, Mel, you know, she had to give up a lot. Normal family, functional relationships, happiness, spontaneity, just going to school and playing like other little girls, just so she could develop this level of perfection. But it's this kind of unblinking dedication that we expect to see here today, folks. And another thing I'd like to point out to you viewers out there is that what makes this sport so grueling is that control has to be maintained every waking hour, and sometimes even into the dream life, and not just control of yourself, but control of everyone who comes within a 200 square foot radius. Well, Hal, we're right on top of the action here. Things are about to get underway. She's about to start her day, and here she goes. Okay, she's putting on her power. No smear, no smudge, no run, no drip. Cover all makeup. As you know, folks, this makeup was developed especially for female tactical forces on maneuvers on Wall Street. And look at that ultra-tailored power suit. Why, that suit would intimidate Donald Trump. And notice the effective use of the daytimer. She has every slot filled in. She's even scheduled a urination at 10:33 a.m. Right between dictating a letter to her child in daycare and working out on her total body power office fitness system. Well, let's pick up the action now as she's driving to her power lunch. Well, this is the event that really sets her apart from the rest of the field, Mel. Look how she uses every spare moment for developing control. Not only can she drive in four-lane traffic while listening to her subliminal power employee control management tapes, while reviewing a video of her last power sales conference, but she has even managed to develop a technique for utilizing the time normally lost waiting at stoplights, time she now spends power flossing. We're seeing peak compulsivity here, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we've got a delicate maneuver coming up here now, and she's about to go to her power lunch where she's meeting three prospective clients. Well, isn't it true, Hal, that she's having an affair with all three of them? Yes, it is. Another example of her excellent control, but this is going to require some master manipulation. Well, if anyone can do it, she sure can, Hal. Now, watch closely, folks. Now, you know she's hungry. You know she has all those sensual appetites, just like everybody else. And here comes the waiter. He's bringing in those succulent, high-cal, tasty appetizers. And she sees it. She's about to go for the pate on toast, and then she reaches for the celery. Incredible recovery. Amazing. And she landed all three accounts and even managed to get laid by one of the clients without the others noticing it. This is control extraordinaire. Well, we've got another delicate maneuver, folks, as we switch you live to corporate headquarters, where we have just learned via satellite that she's about to lose a promotion to a male subordinate, one that she has been manipulating towards for years. Well, there it is. Is she going to lose it? Are her real feelings finally coming up? There they are. They're rising. They're almost there. They're finally, yes, there they are at the surface. And then she regains control. Incredible recovery. Isn't that amazing? I tell you what, let's take a look at that on instant replay. Tell us what's going on here, Hal, will you? Okay, there you see it. You can see the anger building up within her. The impulse to react uncontrollably. The disappointment and the humiliation about to erupt. There she is. She's almost over the edge. She realizes what's at stake, grits her teeth, clamps her jaw, tightens her buttock, and explodes into a confident, disarming, never allow any authentic feelings out smile. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the best. Well, we can certainly say that again. You're seeing control maneuvers here today that you rarely see in this sport. Oh, but here are the scores. Okay, for technical merit, 9-9-8, 9-9-8-9. And for deceptive visual impact, 9-9-10 from the Canadian judge. 9-9-8-9 again, the best scores we've ever seen. Well, now they took off a little bit for her mascara running and for a tiny bit of enjoyment peeping through during her lunchtime orgasm. But other than that, she was perfect, head and shoulders above the rest of the field. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, a truly great sports spectacle. And I'm Mel Winston, speaking for myself and Hal Dumont, bringing you one of the fastest growing sporting events in America, the thrill of control, the agony of spontaneity. Thank you.
There you have it.
This is fun to listen to. Do you really think that it will be a sport in about 10 years?
Well, you know, I think it'll when they have the psychic Olympics, and that's when it's going to become a sport. They'll have things like the thrill of control, and I think we talked about it before, the catch and release fishing program for the ego, where you catch the ego in some kind of malfunctioning, which is, of course, anything the ego basically does. Oh, by the way,
you get to throw it back.
You have that choice, or you just release that ego compulsion. I mean, let's face it, what is control? But it starts with you've got this isolated little self, or the self that thinks it's isolated. This is the crux of the matter. The self thinks it's kind of separate from all the other selves. Now, here's the paradox of reality. We're given this little beinghood that is self-aware, and it starts off by just being aware of what it isn't and starts making those distinctions, you know, like this is my hand and this is my elbow and it's not the surrounding empty space or my mommy's breast or it's very basic.
And I don't feed myself through my elbow,
right? Not yet. and then we develop this. We're so immature, you know. Remember, folks, we are conscious dirt, striving.
That's
for
sort of like, it's not really a nice thing to say, because most people think of dirt as dirty.
Well,
and we're not dirty.
No.
I mean, when you think earth, maybe conscious earth, you know, tiny little bit of earth. I'd like that better than dirt.
Okay.
My ego refuses to be dirt.
And so it is. The ego, according to A Course in Miracles, which is quite worth reading if you're someone who is a person on the grow, and that's who this program is for, says the ego transforms situations into forms of praise for itself in order to overcome its doubts.
Yes, what is the doubt? The doubt is, you know, like, it's the constant affirmation what we need that we exist.
Well, let me go back to the development of this little separate individual self that we call the ego, but it's really this the part of the mind that identifies itself by separation, by what it is not. And so...
What do you mean by what it's not?
What it's not?
I didn't say that. You said that. But it sounds funnier than what I was thinking
of. Yeah, what it's not. You know, the ego is very snotty. It's like a snotty-nosed, bratty kid, always wanting attention and always transforming circumstances to keep itself separate and special. And so that's why it has to have control, because it has to constantly, because it's unreal. And in order for it to maintain its unreal existence, it has to keep busy trying to control everything to affirm whatever definition it has created for itself, albeit bad, good. It doesn't really matter to the ego whether you see yourself as a hotshot or a little piece of dung, or even some snot, because the ego thrives on separation and it uses fear. But in order to overcome the fear, this is where control comes in. We attempt to try and grasp, manipulate, twist, catch, hold on to.
Control. I think that when you say that the ego is false or something like that, you just said it. What you mean by that, what I think you mean by that, and I really don't know what you think. I mean, even though I know you very well, I can't get inside your head all the time.
Really?
Sometimes I can. Yeah,
really?
I have a little hole that I bored into your head when we got married, so I know your thoughts. At least that's what every woman thinks when they get married. That they can read the minds of their husbands, and therefore they can control them. But it's not true.
But wait a minute. Rochelle is working on a book, and I'm just going to put pressure on her to finish this book. And the title of this book is You'll Never Change Him.
Or you can even use the thing as you'll never be able to control him.
There you go.
You know, it's like, but it works both ways. You know, we try to control people so that we can live our lives comfortably. If something happens that we didn't plan on or we can't control, it throws us into a state of confusion. It throws us into a state of fear because I don't know what to do. I haven't planned for this. And then there are people who are really good planners, so they cover every possible thing that can happen. They have stored water, they've stored food, they store new ways to communicate with the world that may be under death or whatever, or underwater. They plan as far as they can, and of course, if they should happen to die before any of these terrible things happen, I mean, they'll probably be very upset that they didn't get to use all that stuff.
Well...
Sorry.
But I saved a lifetime for that stuff. All right, says St. Peter. But come on in. You're welcome, but you can't bring your stuff.
I keep trying, though, boy. I
keep collecting and think, well, maybe there's something in my stuff that I can kind of sneak on. Oh, let me say this. Now, for those of you who may not know this, but, you know, you're only allowed to take... when you leave this life, the only thing you're allowed to take is one carry-on. And otherwise, you got to leave everything behind. And so someone asked me, well, what do you mean, what carry-on? Well, as it turns out, when you wake up, supposedly, after the mortal life, the greeting celestial beings say, well, all right, get up, carry on. It's so terrible.
It's lame or not, but it could be.
Well, it's borderline lame.
It's your face saying it is really funny. It's too bad we're not on TV.
Well,
that would have gotten a laugh.
Just the face.
Just looking at you.
Well, that just shows you have to be on TV.
The words are not. But this is radio, and I love radio. I love radio is because I don't have to get all dressed up.
Speaking of radio, or since we're at Lupin and Lupin is clothing optional, if it were really hot enough, we wouldn't have to get dressed at all.
Well, you wouldn't.
Right. But I'd have no place to put my microphone pouch.
That's true, too.
But let me remind folks that this is Insight Out, the Naked Truth. And I'm Errol Rochelle, and Rochelle is Rochelle Errol.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider, oh, and he is Errol Strider, and never get confused.
And we're dealing with the subject of control. And I'd like for you to think about the times in your life where you feel like you really need to be in control. Now, I want to make a distinction between control and command. And we'll get back to that a little later, because the irony is that we have this impulse to create life, to make it the way we want it, to somehow, by doing things in the now, get the future to be a good place to be when we get there.
And you can just sit still and you'll arrive.
Unless you're busy.
Well, you're busy planning for it.
Right, unless you're busy.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't have a problem with control, and we're not being in any way pejorative about it. I think that the one thing that I have experienced since I'm at the age where I have lots of experiences is that when I try to control things a lot, it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot. I get tired. You know, there's an exquisite state of allowing that releases energy in me, in which I have more energy to be in relationship with people, enjoy people, be in joy. And when I'm trying to control things so that nothing bad will happen, I mean, that's the biggest one of our control issues, is that we try to control things so, like you said before, like, so they'll be nice. They won't be a bad thing that happened to us. And of course, we can't control everything. So, I mean, we try, but except for that lady, you know, who won the Olympics.
But as I like to say, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
That's right.
And it's the resistance that they control, because resistance sucks up energy. Which brings me to the converse. Just for a minute, we want to give you a hint of the opposite, the freeing state, which is in a state of, well, surrender. I had this image once that you're either a servant of love or you're a slave to fear. Either way, you will obey. And we'll come back to that later. But now let's just take a break. I want you to take a minute to think about what control issues you might have. And for those of you control freaks, we've got a special thing for you. So call in the number again. We're going to take a little break to a song that I want you to listen to. And it fits right in with what we're talking about. So be thinking about calling in 888-627-6008. Come on, I know you've had some control opportunities, yours or someone else this week. I can't believe you've passed a week without it. But anyway, here's the song by Jane Monheit called, appropriately enough, Surrender.
Or your work day, you've been running all day long, trying to be everything to everybody, everything to everybody. Let's be still and see what a little silence can bring. Just a little while. Right now, no one is aiming to impress. Right now, more is less. No, this is not a test on the world. The world is hard enough. Can't always be made of the toughest stuff, so just surrender. chance to surrender. Come on, surrender. It's only us giving in to try.
Good.
Yeah,
nice.
She's good.
Yeah, Jane Monheit about surrendering. She had a lot to say about it, a lot of good things to say about it.
You know, what I realized as she was singing it is that I surrender when I can't control it.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, you know, what is the balance between, like, planning? Is planning controlling? And, you know, the moments where when you do let go and you surrender, but having made a plan, and it's just not going anywhere, and it's not doing what you want it to do, even though you're trying so hard to make it do what you want it to do, and it isn't working. And then for me, there's this letting go of it. And somehow, and this is the strangest thing, but it happens to me all the time, the minute I let go of it, it happens. That which what I wanted to happen happens. And it doesn't always happen in the way that I thought it was going to happen, but it happens. And so it's a for me, there's a very interesting lesson about that, constantly controlling my understanding, because I'm having the experience so often where I cannot control certain things. And by surrendering to the moment, I receive or achieve the result I wanted. And it seems to have nothing to do with me other than my desire to have it happen.
Well, it's all convoluted with, there you are in the present, and you're trying to control the future, but what happens, all we have to go on for most of us is the past. And
yeah, but we already controlled the past. We got there that way.
Well, but wait, just a minute. I have more to say about that. As a matter of fact, I'd like to take us now on a little break into a kitchen. I work in the kitchen here at Lupin, and one of the chefs is, well, let him introduce myself, and he's going to kind of give you a sense of how the past and the present and the future kind of all work together.
So we're taking a break with our conscious conversation. We're not taking a break for the program.
No, we're just going to listen.
Well, then don't use those words.
Okay. All right. The words that I previously used in the past, take a break.
Don't use them. We're not taking a break. We're doing something else.
Okay. Well, this is a breakthrough. How about that? This is a breakthrough moment for you. Listen to this, and I'm going to introduce this fabulous guy. I'll let him introduce himself. Okay, here we go. Just hello, I'm a chef, Mangiare Linguini. You know, Mangiare Linguini is because of my parents, and they like to name me after what they like to do the most, the Mangiare Linguini. Anyway, last week is a cooking lesson. We taught you how to prepare for a good future. Today's lesson is going to be how to cook up a good pasta and how to make the best of your leftover pasta. Now, sometimes the pasta will not want to let go, but that's not the true lesson today we'll show you. How you make the pasta, how you serve up the pasta, how you eat the pasta, and mostly, how you let go of the pasta. So, it tastes so good. Now, how you cover up the pasta and disguise the pasta, that's another thing, and then you have to clean it up, and it's a big cleaning up lesson. So, everybody's got the pasta, but they don't know what to do with the pasta. Sometimes the pasta don't taste so good. Sometimes the pasta is not, like I said, not want to let go. It's sitting holding on for dear life. It thinks it, and then it becomes like a sticky pasta. And it sticks to you, and it's like you spend your life carrying the pasta around, and you try to stick it on other things, and you stick it on the future, and it's the pasta, and it's a big mess. Sometimes we think we are our pasta. Oh, my goodness, that's a terrible place to be, because you're not your pasta, even though the pasta thinks it wants to be you again over and over, so don't get eaten all up, and then it's no longer the pasta. It becomes something else. Anyway, you got to learn the difference between that kind of pasta you keep and use and the kind of pasta that should be flushed. Yeah, some people get them mixed up. They try and flush the good pasta and hold on to the pasta that's supposed to be flushed. So we want to remind you, we're here anytime you want. If you need a lesson on what to do with your pasta, please contact me, that Chef Mangiore Linguini. Remember, my parents named me after the thing they most like to do. Talking to you soon on the Cooking Channel.
You're a funny man. Funny man, Linguini.
That's my uncle, Linguini. So,
call in. So what are we talking about? Oh, would you have a caller?
I don't know. I'm so eager to have someone call in and let us know you're out there listening. This is Insight Out, the Naked Truth, broadcasting live from Lupin Lodge in Los Gatos. And Rochelle and I have been here for about 6 months now, and we've had a lot of opportunities to deal with our own issues of control. And guess what? Other people's issues of control.
Yeah, when that's another story, you know, when, like, I have people in my life whose need to control me makes them happy. I mean, because...
Makes me happy.
Oh, right. Thank you very much. And because if you can control, like, I think it happens a lot with people in relationship, you know, like, especially men-women relationships, because I don't know too many other relationships I haven't experienced. But if there are intimate relationships, let's put it that way, where you want your life to be orderly and nice. And if the person you're with is not doing what you want them to do, you get upset. So it's very important to control this person so that they become just like you, except for one thing.
What?
They don't know you're doing that. You know, they have no idea. It's like you don't tell them. You know, you just kind of, it leads to manipulation. It leads to game playing. It leads to lies and deceit lots of times in order to get what you want to get, you know. And I find that, I remember when I was a young, very young, you know, like a pre-teenager, just discovering my own womanhood, girlhood, actually. I hadn't gotten to womanhood yet. But, you know, girls are starting to be interested in boys, and they were looking at them, and they had all these games that they played to manipulate these unsuspecting young men into being with them in a certain way. And I could never remember what the rules were. Plus the fact that I didn't understand the rules and I didn't know how to play that game, I didn't. And I was somewhat ostracized by the other women, the other girls, because I didn't, you know. It was like, oh, come on, you know, Rochelle, you know, get with the game or get with the whatever, get with it. And I didn't do that. And it was sometimes it was very lonely because I couldn't play the game. I could only be who I was. And who I was at that point in time was shy and confused and shy and confused.
nobody would accuse her of that now. Well, I take it back. The confused part, I think, still will get some votes. So part of what we've been doing here, I've been working in the kitchen just to kind of fill you in on what we've been doing. And I'd never worked in a kitchen, a professional restaurant kitchen before. And I am very happy and proud to say that I am now the lunchtime cook 2 days a week. And it's interesting because one of the things I feel about it, I always had this thing that I could be a good short order cook. And, you know, I tried to be a long order cook, but it just didn't pan out.
It's not who you are. You write pithy things.
Right. I'm just a short kind of guy, you know, I'm just in and out, not too long. No, don't take it that way. I see how she gets confused. You see how confusing
that
was?
That's true.
She got very confused there.
Speak the truth, I'm also got red in the face.
Ooh, yeah. So you can't see that on the radio, but it's kind of a reddish color.
What are you talking about with the short article? Where are you going?
Okay, where I'm going with this is that it's like the good part of control. I have like 6-8 different things that are going on at once that I have to maintain control of. You know, I've got 3 sandwiches on the grill. I'm making the toast. The other day, I forgot that I started to fill up the cleaning dishes tubs, you know, and about 5 minutes later, I remembered. They were all quite full. And so you have all... So there's an important place where the mind comes in and you want to be in control. But it's taking a hard look at where the control enters in as a defense mechanism and as a way of holding on to reality. Like one of the images that I have that I actually told myself the other day when I found myself trying to hold on for control, and I had this insight once that you don't need to hold on for dear life. Dear life is holding on to you.
Sweet. But I think it has. I think that is the issue. You know, what is the balance between spontaneity and control? I mean, because we do, like, if you're in that kitchen, and you're planning out things, like they have prep time in the backs of in the kitchen, where you prepare for what's happening. Like this radio show, we prepare to go on. We don't just sit down and then all of a sudden 2 minutes before, I think we need a microphone. I think we need earphones. I think we need a computer. You do plan it. And so there's a difference between planning something and trying to control the end result, I think is what, I think there's a tiny distinction.
Well, I remember reading once in the Arantxa book where it says, the act is ours, the consequence is God's. And you may not be comfortable with the word God, but let's just say that the consequences are taken over by the great mystery. And I think where the faith comes in, the surrender part comes in, is trusting. And this is in many ways the central piece of where we're coming from. I think I can speak for Rochelle in this.
Can you speak for me?
No, I don't sound like it.
Okay.
But,
and
that
speak
is
for me, friend.
That we live, as someone might say, in a friendly universe, that life is on our side, that there is a benevolent, supportive presence that is available and accessible, that we can kind of switch over the controls. I heard the metaphor that it was like a pilot of a ship. We are the captain of our ship, absolutely. But as we go into these choppy places of unknown and risk and ego distortions, we have this pilot that we can bring on board the ship that knows how to ride these choppy currents of life, and that we're not alone. We are supported.
Well, some people might call that our intuition or our higher self. They might call it a lot of things. But I think the thing that is important for me is the balance between all of this. Like the captain of the ship really does plan the course, you know, so that if he's going to go to a certain island, you know, the course says you go due west, and that course is planned. But he can't control a current that he's never seen before, or doesn't know about. He can't control the weather. You know, a typhoon could come up. And then you have to get back on course. So there's that surrender to that which you cannot control. And there's the planning, which is not necessarily controlling as much as it is being somewhat responsible to the moment you're in, to the task at hand, to the purpose, to your purpose, being responsible to your purpose,
which
is different than controlling.
Ooh, I like that. Being responsible to your purpose, responsive to your purpose. But at some point, one way or another, no matter what you do, no matter how well you plan the past, your future, no matter how much control you think you have, there is a time for letting go. So let's take a musical break. This is a song called I'm Letting Go, and give you a chance to suck it up and get to our call number. What's that number again? 888-627-6008. And we'll be back with some more of The Naked Truth. And here it comes.
My heart beats, standing on the edge, but my feet have finally left the ledge. Like an
What did you make of that? That was Francesca Battistelli. And that's, yeah. Anyway, so...
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong.
There you go. That was the song we were going to play last week, but we didn't get to play it. And we'll come back to it. It's I've Got to Be Me by Buddy Holly. So... anyway, because we had sound problems, because we didn't have it under control.
I mean, we didn't have it under control. That has a lot to do
with having
something under control.
Yeah?
A lot to do with being ignorant.
That, I think, is ignorance.
You know, that you don't know. I mean, we hear the word but you're ignorant because you don't know something.
You are ignorant because you don't know something. And hold on a second, Rochelle's batteries went kaput. So I was just noticing, I don't hear you very well, Rochelle. So we're going to have a change of battery. This is a change of battery moment. And let's listen to the song, because last week we were dealing with the issue of, what was it, being you? Oh, how far will self-interest get you? Remember? And so we wanted to play this song. And this is Buddy Holly, and it's called, well, I think the song is self-explanatory.
Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I've gotta be me, I've gotta be me. What else can I be but what I am? I wanna live, not merely survive, and I won't give up the dreams of life that keep me alive. I've gotta be me, waiting for me if I heed the call. I won't settle down, won't settle for less. If there's a half a chance, I can have it all. I'll go it alone, that's how it must be. I can be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I've gotta be free.
And there you have a taste of the song that we would have played last week.
The thing is, it's almost applicable to control issues, because that's the whole thing. If I've got to be me, I've got to be me. I mean, I have to, and then if I create this image of me, I have to control everything around me and within me so that that image is perpetuated.
I got a question for you. Okay, so I could see that there'd be a lot of people who go, well, you know, what does this have to do with just the everyday grounded stuff, the basic questions, let's get fed, let's get laid, let's get safe and all that, and here we are talking about this philosophical perspective. So how would... what do you think it would take for someone to be able to get to the place where you're willing to entertain a more philosophical orientation to these really commonplace issues? That's what we try and do in the show, is deal with stuff that's like very germane to our life experience. Like the issue of control comes up all day long, every day, all over the world. People are dealing with it.
You're asking what will it take for people to want to be interested in discovering the truth behind the things that trip you up all the time? What does it take, you know, to move from crawling to walking?
Uh-huh. You're talking about readiness?
I think it's, you're ready for it. You know, there's a point in our lives when we're ready to tackle something, and which is kind of interesting. There's a point in our lives where we're ready to tackle something by understanding it. And then there's a point in our lives where we go beyond the understanding it, where we don't care about whether we understand it or not. We're just being. And we've refined our own understanding enough so that it permeates all of ourselves. And the being that emerges from all that understanding is like a cleansed being. It's not corrupted by the need to control everything for fear of losing it. We get maybe it's the point where we get closer to death when you can let go, because you realize you're going to. Though some people get closer to death and they clutch even more. You know, they get even more frightened.
Or maybe you've gone through enough of the experiences where you've had to let go and you've lost control. I remember once I was living in Miami many years ago, and I went to visit my sister in New York, and I had to catch the plane, then I had to catch the Long Island Railroad, and for some reason I just took everything. And I had like
you
six.
You took everything.
I took my bags. I was going to spend the summer there. So, uh-huh. And including my typewriter.
Well, typewriter. <you're a> writer.
Typewriter. It was kind of a kind of like a pencil.
But much bigger and heavier.
But you know, it actually separates out all the letters. Each letter's got its own little key. I love that. Anyway, so I was trying to. I heard the train up, and it was up these long flight of stairs, and I was on my way trying to get to that plane carrying my six pieces of luggage.
Six pieces? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Six pieces of luggage. And I was halfway up the stairs, and I could feel I just couldn't hold on to them. And they slipped out of my hand, and that was it. I just, you know, that I couldn't do it. I totally could not control the situation, and there it was. I don't know why I brought that up.
Did you start to cry?
Well, I got the typewriter out.
I would have cried.
And I started,
and wrote about it.
And started writing about what it's like when you just lose control. Where I was headed with this is, I think for some of us, it's having gone through experiences where control has not worked for us, maybe enough times where we think that, where we recognize that maybe we need to look at some other options, like trust and like surrender. And to reinforce that, I want, you know, surrender can be very, very sweet. And so I'd like you to experience a little bit of what that quality is like before we let you go for the night. This is a piece called Sweet Surrender.
Lost and alone on some forgotten highway, traveled by many, remembered by few, looking for something that I can believe in, looking for something that I'd like to do with my life. There's nothing behind me and nothing that ties me to something that might have been true yesterday. Tomorrow is open, and right now it seems to me more than enough to just be here today. And I don't know what the future is holding in store. I don't know where I'm going. I'm not sure. There's a spirit that guides me, a light that shines for me. My life is worth the living, I don't need to see the end. Sweet, sweet surrender.
And there you have Nana, or Nana, Muscuri, Muscuri. Very sweet. And we're about to sign off. We've got less than a minute. This is Errol Strider.
And this is Rochelle Strider. And if you would like us to find the core truth to any issue in your life, email us at estrider@gmail.com.
And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. And we try and be as naked as we can with you in terms of what's going on with us.
And remember, go raw for delicious, raw, organic food.
Yeah, seeds and cookies
and feel healthy as well as tasty.
Yeah. And in terms of control, think about it and let us hear from you. eastrider@gmail.com. Go to our website, thelaughinghearthart.org, where there's lots of videos. You'll get to see the thrill of control live, the one that we played for you. And so I think that's it. So good night. Join us next week where the subject will be scarcity around money and money talks. And you're going to hear it right here. Scarcity, fear, and money talks. Good night.
Good night.